Welcome to this podcast in the Smart Science series by Adiseo.
Hello, I'm Dr. Brian Sloan, here with Dr. Dan Lucchini from Adiseo. We're visiting today with Dr. Nancy Whitehouse from the University of New Hampshire. Nancy, can you take a minute to tell us about the focus of the two research abstracts that you shared at the recent 2021 annual meeting of the American Dairy Science Association?
I'd be glad to, Brian. Just a little background. Over the last 15 years at UNH, we have developed the plasma dose response technique, which is a more precise, accurate, and robust method to measure the metabolizable amino acid contributions of rumen-protected amino acid products. The methodology has been validated in previous trials for both lysine and methionine. We've run 20 lysine trials with 40 different products and 11 methionine trials with 21 different products. In the work presented at ADSA this year, we wanted to continue to refine our application of the methodology. So the one abstract dealt with validating the methodology between different bioavailabilities of two closely related rumen-protected methionine sources. And the other one validated the accuracy of the methodology when a protected lysine source was likely to have a poor bioavailability related to the reference product. So in brief, these are replicated 3x3 Latin squares. They're 7-day periods. We have 4 days adjustment and then 3 days where we collect samples. The samples we collect are plasma, and those are collected on day 5, 6, and 7, and we collect them 2, 4, 6, and 8 hours after feeding, and then those samples are pooled together. The other important thing that we do is that the product is mixed with TMR and stored for 8 hours. We do feed the cows 3 times a day every 8 hours so that the product is exposed to anything in the TMR.
Thank you, Nancy. And what did you find? Can you give us an insight into what was the highlights of this research?
Okay, I'm going to start with the Kezin M Smartamine M research trial first. And here we looked at the plasma total sulfur amino acids, and we found that methionine, cystathione, taurine, and total sulfur amino acids were not significantly different between Kezin-M and Smartamine-M, but they were different than the control, and that the slopes, so the slope that we calculated for Smartamine-M and Kezin-M, those were significantly different, and this allowed us to be able to distinguish between the two products. So when we looked at the bioavailability, the Kezin-M bioavailability was 86% relative to the Smartamine-M. And this had a plus or minus 3% accuracy around that value. For the Lysigem Smartamine ML trial, here there was a vast difference between the two products. Lysigem was not significantly different in plasma lysine compared to control, whereas Smartamine was significantly different. And when we determined the relative bioavailability of Lysigem to Smartamine ML, that was 8.6 plus or minus 3.5%.
These results are very interesting, Nancy. What was particularly satisfying from your point of view as a researcher in terms of the results of these trials?
Well, for us, it was being able to do more work on this methodology and be able to prove once again that it is a very robust method when we are determining the bioavailabilities of products, and that we can distinguish between two products that are very similar and two products that are very different.
Hey, Nancy, remind us, this looks like it's very robust, but what are the key factors that makes it so accurate?
One thing is that pre-incubation of feeds. So from work done at Miner, they've shown that these products are not always stable in TMR due to pH or moisture content. The other thing is the steady state. So we have reached steady state, whether we're infusing or feeding products, we have reached steady state in the blood of either lysine or methionine or any of the other amino acids. And the other thing is the way we express our amino acids. For lysine, we express them as a percent of total amino acids minus lysine. For the methionine, we express it as a percent of total amino acids minus total sulfurs. The reason we use total sulfurs is that methionine does not only affect methionine. It affects those other sulfur amino acids. Sometimes, usually, they will also increase along with the methionine. And what we found is by expressing either lysine or methionine this way, we increase our R-squares, which is very important for when we're looking at our slopes. And we decrease our confidence intervals and our coefficient of variance, which is very important when we're looking at that, how accurate these products can be.
So, Nancy, I mean, this is obviously from the scientific point of view, you have this technique very fine-tuned. Now, if any nutritionist or a dairy producer is looking to inquire and look into using a lumen-protected amino acid, any lumen-protected amino acids, what questions should the producer or the nutritionist ask to the person that is trying to promote this product, the use of this product?
The very first question I would ask if I was a nutritionist or a farmer is, what is the bioavailability of that product and how is it determined? And what I mean that, it's, was it an in vitro system? And that means, was it done in a lab with a bunch of chemicals? Or is it an in vivo system where you're actually using animals? That would be the very first question that I would ask. And then the other thing is, if it is an in vivo, what technique did they use? The plasma dose response technique, it has been, from all the trials we've done, we have kind of gotten it to the point where it's a very accurate technique compared to some of the others that are just starting to be used, and they don't have all the data behind them that we do here at UNH. So until that happens, till they run more trials and get more numbers, I would definitely say you should be looking at the plasma dose response technique.
Well, thank you, Nancy, for that excellent overview of the trials that you carried out and presented this year at ADSA, and also reminding us of how good this particular plasma dose response technique is, and that it should be top of mind when it comes to evaluating products. Dan, this makes me ask you and I is, what does this all mean for our dairy nutritionists and farmers in terms of how they can apply this knowledge to their benefit?
Well, Brian, I mean, we all know that in order to design a good diet, the dairy nutritionists rely on the good lab values that are coming from any feed ingredients that they use. We all use lab values to plug in into the whatever formulation systems that they use to design the diets that they are to have the right nutrient profiles that they are looking for. This is exactly the same thing for any rumen protected amino acid source. So having a very accurate value, it would really help you to really design better diets, and the cows are going to respond accordingly. So, for example, in these last two cases, Dr. Whitehouse show very clearly that there are differences in products. So the better you identify how accurate these measures are, the better you're going to be able to design a diet.
I couldn't agree more, Dan. And I think trying to be a good representatives of the supply industry who are offering these protected amino acid products to the market, I think this technology, also should be methodology should be the reference one for use by us all, to be sure that as we are developing products, we clearly define the best estimates of the bioavailability, because it's only good estimates that will make sure that they're used appropriately and to the benefit of the nutritionist and ultimately our farmer customer. So for those of you who want to know a little more, I recommend that you go to www.adiseo.com if you want to look at Nancy's abstracts in more detail.
Thank you. This concludes the Smart Science Podcast by Adiseo.